Let's turn to Joshua chapter 15. We're continuing on with the story of the apportionment of the land. And so now this is the land that's given to the tribe of Judah. So let's read. This is Joshua 15. Now the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to the families, reached the border of Edom southward to the wilderness of Zin at the extreme south. And their south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. Then it proceeded southward to the ascent of Akrabim and continued to Zin. Then went up by the south of Kadesh Barnea and continued to Hezron, and went up to Adar and turned about to Karka. And it continued to Asmam and proceeded to the brook of Egypt, and the border ended at the sea. This shall be your south border. And the east border was the Salt Sea, as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border of the north side was from the bay of the sea at the mouth of the Jordan. Then the border went up to Beth-Lehogah and continued on the north of Beth-Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. And the border went up to Debir from the valley of Achor and turned northward toward Gilgal, which is opposite the ascent of Adumim, which is on the south of the valley, and the border continued to the waters of En-Shemesh, and it ended at En-Rogel. Then the border went up to the valley of Ben-Hinnom, to the slope of the Jebusite on the south, that is Jerusalem. And the border went up to the top of the mountain, which is before the valley of Hinnom, to the west, which is at the end of the valley of Rephaim, toward the north. And from the top of the mountain, the border curved to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah, and proceeded to the cities of Mount Ephron. Then the border curved to Baalah, that is Kiriath-Jearim. And the border turned about from Baalah westward to Mount Seir and continued to the slope of Mount Jearim to the north, that is Chesalon, and went down to Beth-Shemesh and continued through Timnah. And the border proceeded to the side of Ekron northward. Then the border curved to Shikaron and continued to Mount Baalah and proceeded to Jabneel, and the border ended at the sea. And the west border was at the Great Sea, even its coastline. This is a border around the sons of Judah according to their families. Now he gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, a portion among the sons of Judah according to the command of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron. And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Then he went up from there against the inhabitants of Debir, and now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, "The one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will give him Aksa, my daughter, as a wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, captured it, so he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as a wife. And it came about that when she came to him, she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she alighted from the donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you want?" Then she said, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev. Give me also springs of water." So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Judah according to their families. Now the cities at the extremity of the tribe of the sons of Judah toward the border of Edom in the south were Kabzeel and Eder and Jagger, and Kinah and Dimona and Adada and Kadesh and Hazor and Ithnan, Ziph, Telem, and Bealoth, and Hazor Hadatha and Kiriath Hezron, that is Hazor, Ammon and Shema and Moladai, and Hazor Gadah, Heshmon and Beth Pelet, and Hazor Shual and Beersheba and Biziothia, Bala and Iam and Ezem and El Tolad and Chesil and Horma and Ziklag and Madama and Sansana and Leboth and Shilim and Ain and Rimnon, in all 29 cities with their villages. In the lowland, Eshtael and Zora and Ashna and Zanoa and Enganim, Tapua and Enam, Jarmuth and Adullam, Soko and Azekah, Sharem and Adathim, and Gedera and Gederotham, 14 cities with their villages, Zinon and Hadasha and Migdol Gad and Dilian and Mizpeh and Jokthiel, Lachish, Bakthan, Eglon, and Kaban and Lamas and Chitlish and Gederoth, Beth Dagon and Nama, Makeda, 16 cities with their villages, Libna, Ether, and Asan, and Iptha, and Ashna, and Nizib, and Kila, and Akzib, and Merasha, 9 cities with their villages, Ekron with its towns and its villages, from Ekron even to the sea, all that were by the side of Ashdod with their villages, Ashdod, its towns and its villages, Gaza, its towns and its villages, as far as the brook of Egypt and the great sea, even its coastline. And in the hill countries, Shamir and Jatir and Soka, and Dana and Kirith Sana, that is Debir, and Anab, Eshtama and Anim and Goshen and Holon and Gilo and 11 cities with their villages, Arab and Duna and Eshan and Janam and Beth Tapua and Afeka and Humta and Kirith Arba, that is Hebron, and Zior, 9 cities with their villages, Maon, Carmel, and Ziph, and Juta, and Jezreel, and Jokdim, and Zenoah, Cain, Gibeah, Timnah, 10 cities with their villages, Halhul, Beth-Zur, Gidor, and Marath, and Beth-Anoth, and Eltkan, 6 cities with their villages, Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, and Rabbah, 2 cities with their villages, in the wilderness, Beth-Araba, Midin, and Sakaka, and Nibshan, and the city of Salt, and Engedi, 6 cities with their villages. Now as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah, could not drive them out. So the Jebusites live with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day. Amen. A quick note, if you listen to some of the cities, I know some of the cities' names have changed, but if you listen to some of these, you have Ekron, what are some other ones that you'd be familiar with? Ashdod, all these cities. Notice that later, these become inhabited by the Philistines. And if you get an idea, the Philistines, or what's that word from Palestine, is the what we have today. Out there now. And so it's just kind of interesting. This is the land that God gave to the sons of Israel. And this was a covenant land. And that's why the whole power struggle in the Middle East comes back down to these documents that happened here. But obviously, Israel, out of their rebellion, out of their sinfulness, they had lost this land, and it became occupied by the enemies. But you see how the Lord, when he lays out his whole purpose of giving the Israelites this land, is not just merely for a possession of their own, even though that's important, especially as a slave nation, that now they can own their own land. There's something definitely quite awesome about that. But more than that is God gave them so much land that they were able to fortify themselves all the way around. The problem, again, with the Israelites, as we'll see through most of the New Testament, especially the minor prophets and the major prophets, is that they were disobedient to the Lord. And out of their disobedience, they begin to lose territory in this way. And as they lose territory, they lose the ability to defend their borders, or it becomes much more difficult to defend their borders. And you basically have this whole mess that we see now. And really, the moral of this whole story is just be obedient. We'll see later on as we go through. There's not really a lot of meat in this passage. It's a lot of cities, but it's amazing the breadth and the how numerous these cities are that God gave just one tribe. This is just the tribe of Judah, and just city upon city, and it was for their prosperity. But more than that, like I said, it was so that they could fortify themselves from their enemies, so that one day the seed of these sons, particularly Jesus, would come into this world to bring salvation to this world. So let's talk about the territory of Judah. And so the lot falls, and this was a very good way to go about it. They were all obedient to the Lord, the tribes. They were all fought bravely, courageously. And so Joshua, without any show of any favoritism, they draw lots among the people. And so it's basically like kind of a lottery, and certain lots fell on certain pieces of land. So they apportioned the land, and they cast lots, and this lot fell to Judah, and it describes the whole area of this land, Well, one of the sons of that's mentioned here is Caleb, comes on the scene because Caleb, remember the chapter before, God promised particularly Caleb a special allotment of land because he fully followed the Lord. And he was also one of the two, Joshua being the other, that followed God in the midst of rebellion, in a sense. Going way back when they spied out the land. And so we have this little episode, and I just want to use this to kind of draw a point. So Caleb says, okay, so he's also given a portion of among the sons of Judah. He comes to this place, and he is given this land, Kiriath Arba, and this is the father of the Anakim. Now, the Anakim, probably the most famous Anakim that you would know is a guy named Goliath from Gath. These guys are giants. They're huge. And so they're just incredibly brave warriors and so on and so forth. And so, I mean, this is, you think, let's just think in human terms. So Joshua or Caleb's like, well, I fully followed you, God. I was one of the two. I was faithful to you even to the end. And so you promised me that I would get a special piece of land. And then the Lord says, okay, here's this land. This area is yours, but the only problem is it's inhabited by the most ferocious warriors on the planet. And in fact, these guys are giants. And so you would think it's kind of like, well, here's a present, but there are some strings attached to this. But Caleb didn't take it that way. What Caleb believed, and this is what you need to believe, okay? Because sometimes we think that when God gives us something, that there's sometimes strings attached to it. In other words, oh, you can have this, but you have to, do this or do that. Look, he says this. He says this is the land that God's going to give you, but they're inhabited by these three sons, and these guys are giants. Caleb felt if God had given him the land, God would also give him the power to possess the land. Do you guys understand the difference there? So for him, this land is yours, but also attached to the giving of the land was giving the power to perform it. And so God gave Caleb the incredible might to destroy these three sons of the Anakim, which is pretty amazing. These guys are giants. And a lot of times I think we feel like when God gives us a promise that we're going to have to really suffer, we're going to have to really, really persevere and overcome. I mean, there's definitely those elements at work sometimes, but mostly, remember going all the way back to the book of Luke, when the angel appears to Mary and he says, oh, you're the favored one. And Mary is kind of freaking out, and he says, the Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to bear a child as a virgin. And she's like, what the heck is happening here? And the angel says a really profound statement. In my Bible translation, it says, nothing shall be impossible with God. And very famous passage. I want to suggest to you, as we've taught here before, that's a really bad translation of that passage. The word that's used there is the word rhema. And so when it says nothing, the word rhema, basically what it's saying is no spoken word of God shall be without ability. That means whenever God says something, in other words, this land is yours, attached to the word is the ability to perform the word. So let's say God shoots over our head and says, so-and-so, you're going to be a missionary to Afghanistan. And you're like, what? Afghanistan? There's no way I could do that. No, when God says it, this is the power. When God says it, the word, the power to perform what he said is attached to the word. And so in that way, I know we have a lot of single people in our church, and God says, you are supposed to be married. You're married. That's your destiny. I'm going to have to suffer. No, attached to when God speaks that word, attached to the word, it's already performed. The power to perform the word is already done. And Caleb understands this. You don't see him moaning and, oh, God, come on. Couldn't you give me a land that's uninhabited? Couldn't you give me a land where there's not going to be any fighting whatsoever? Yeah, but Caleb knew, oh, God, you gave me this land. You really gave me this land. And so he overcomes. That's one side. But there's another thing that happens here, which I think is actually even more beautiful. And so Caleb defeats these three. And remember, Caleb's old man, okay, at this stage. Caleb defeats these three sons, these giants. And then he gets to the city of Debir. Debir, the word Kiriath Sefer, this is a translated as the city of scrolls, which means that this probably all the record keeping was done here, which means this is probably was the capital city. It would be similar to the United States is Washington, D.C., where all the archives are and all these things. And so this is the capital. And so maybe he's tired. Who knows why? But he lays out the stand. Hey, anyone in my family, you take this city, I'm going to give you. And the daughter, Aksa, she was really quite precious, beautiful, smart, as you can see here later on. And says, anyone take this thing over, and I'll give you my daughter as a bride, which was quite a common thing back then. Almost, you know, sounds kind of crazy now if we did something like this. And so Othniel, who's the brother of the son of Kenaz, so this is his nephew. So Othniel comes and he does it. And he's now given the wife. Now, if you recognize this name Othniel, you'll know him, especially later on, because he becomes the first judge over Israel. And so there's something on this guy already. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord is on him. Not only does he capture the city, so he takes the bride. And the bride, I told you, his daughter, she's a very, very wise woman. And so it's if you read in verse 18, it says, it came about when that she came to him. Now, to him is meaning Othniel. So this was a typical tradition that there would be like caravans because these were arranged marriages. And so so the caravan would come from one side. The groom's caravan would come from the other side. They would meet together. The dad and the family would say goodbye to the daughter, and because now she becomes part of the husband's family, and they would depart and say goodbye. And so she uses this opportunity because Othniel was given the Negev. The Negev is southward. It's very, very dry, and probably maybe not so good for vegetation. I don't know. But she, being a very smart woman, she saw, Othniel gets kind of this land. And now, think about this. In our present world, when a woman sees a potential suitor and judges that person based on their job or their possessions, we see that kind of being negative. It's not. I think that's just wisdom in that regard. I mean, you want to marry somebody that's going to be able to take care of you and then eventually have kids and whatnot. And so I don't want you to get lost in this. That's precisely what she does. She sees, okay, oh, here's Othniel. All right, this can be my husband. Let me see what kind of land he owns. Let me see what kind of possession. And she notices that the land actually is not the best. So she takes this opportunity. It's a really quite a divine moment. And this is when the last goodbyes. And in fact, she's not supposed to get out of the cart, you know, get off her donkey. And so, but she does. And then the dad, Caleb, goes, what do you want? You know, but not, it's not, I mean, I said it really badly. It's probably more like, oh, can I do anything for you? What do you want? She's making a request. And then very smart woman. And says, well, you know, we have the Negev, but basically said, I want a blessing. Can you basically bless me? And what is the father going to do on the wedding day to his daughter? What's he going to say? No, of course not. He says, yes. Yeah, you can have it. And look what she gets. She says she gets here the upper springs and the lower springs. So now she gets the water that she desperately needs to make something out of the Negev that Othniel received. And this is an incredible principle that Jesus will begin to draw from in the New Testament. Remember in the book of Luke, he says, "You being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more the Heavenly Father give to those that ask?" Another in the Luke passage says, "Give the gift of the Holy Spirit." It says, "If who is a father if you have a son and ask for bread or give him a stone, you know, or ask for fish and give him a scorpion and whatnot?" And he says, "You being evil know how to give good gifts to those that ask. How much more will your Heavenly Father?" And it's this idea: if an earthly father, if they can be generous, if they can be, I mean, outstandingly generous in this regard, how much more will our Heavenly Father give to those who ask? We are His children. We are His sons and His daughters. And this passage, Aksa, she leans upon the generosity and goodness of God, or goodness of Caleb, especially in this celebratory moment, and she receives a blessing from the Lord. You know, one thing that I find kind of very interesting is I think I see this more with kind of not necessarily older, meaning mature Christians, but more old school Christians, is sometimes an inability to ask for God's blessing over their life. Brothers and sisters, we are children of God, and we should frequently go before the Lord and ask for His blessings over our lives. And this is obviously spiritual, but also material. You know, and the simple reality is God will give to those that He trusts. If He knows that material blessing, whatever, that you are trustworthy, in other words, you're not going to be selfish with it, that you're going to be a person that shares, you know, you are blessed to be a blessing, God is so graciously gives to His children, just like Caleb gave to his daughter in that opportune moment. And so let's close our eyes today. The Chronicles tells us, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that He may strongly support those hearts that are completely His." So God's desire, He is seeking after people whom He can trust. And if He can trust somebody, in other words, the blessing will not ruin them. Some people, you bless them, it'll ruin them. But God in His wisdom blesses those that He trusts. His eyes move to and fro throughout the whole earth that He may strongly support those hearts that belong to Him. So I'm going to ask you this morning to be a little audacious. I want you to ask God to bless you. Just like Aksa went to the father and said, "Daddy, I want a blessing." It's not a selfish request, because we're kids. You know, my kids come ask me all the time, "Daddy, I want this, I want that." I don't get mad. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to come to their daddy and ask for good things. And so today in prayer, I want you to be audacious in your prayers. I want you to pray to a God that loves you. I want you to pray to a God that cares about you. I want you to pray to a God that wants to show you favor. I want you to lift up your voices and your heart to the Lord and say, "Daddy, will you bless me?" Without any fear, without any embarrassment or any shame. Because you're going to use it not just for yourself, but to be a blessing. And so ask, and you shall receive. As Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's be bold in our asking of our gracious Heavenly Father.
God is in. great things lifted up. He defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. It is near. We overcome. For the Lord, our God is able. God is with us. God is on our side. Of all we hold, He has done great things, lifted up, He defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able, it is near, we overcome. God is able. God is with us. He will go before. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. God is for us. He has opened us. He will never fail. The grave raised to life, our God is able, it is near, we overcome, for the Lord our God is able, for the Lord our God.
So let's ask. Let's talk to the Lord. Say, Father, Daddy, bless me. Bless my job. Bless my family. Bless our health. Bless my church. Bless my leaders, my pastors. Bless my parents. Be bold. Maybe some of you guys are praying to get pregnant. Be bold. Praying to get married. Praying for a better job. A bigger flat. Be bold. If He can trust you, right, then it's done. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayer focus, and let's pray for our family members that are battling through cancer. Let's ask God. Let's be bold in our prayers and for healing, for God's grace and His love to come over them. And let's lift them up. Pray for our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for God's healing word and His word of salvation. Pray for our community that's ill with non-cancer related illnesses. If I could highlight today, the second person, Belinda, she had her surgery yesterday. She's still recovering. She's still in a bit of pain. And so if we can just continue to lift her up as she recovers from her surgery. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision over their life. Go to our mission prayer focus, and today let's pray for China, and let's ask God's favor, His blessing upon this country. Let's pray for our SP Beijing family. Pray for Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe and their baby in the womb. Let's pray for God's blessing over them and their leaders who will continue to grow and prosper before God. They're praying about and trying to find a new place to meet. Let's pray for God's provision and just the perfect space for the church to grow and be protected. Let's also lift up the Chung family, ask for God's blessing upon them in the midst of their travels throughout China. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents, particularly a translation project that the dad's involved in. Let's pray for Edie Clark and their ministries, and let's lift up churches all over. Let's ask for God's favor and His spirit to breathe over China. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for the Lord to really move upon each one of them. This year, actually, in just a few weeks, Lisa and Janie will be stepping down from the board as they did their customary 6 years of service. And so let's just pray for their next step in ministry for them. And let's just ask God's continued blessing over each one. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for welcoming and barista. Pray that God would continue to move upon each one of our leaders and our baristas, and that really there would be that very welcoming, warm face and smile and handshake as people come into this house. So let's pray. Let's pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's pray for our Monday men's prayer meeting, the Pure Desire Group, and the men's fraternity. Let's lift up our women's ministry as they're vision casting and forming to the next steps. Let's pray for the young adult men and women as well. Let's ask for God's favor that we would gather together as men and women and really draw closer to one another in the Lord. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight. Causeway Bay, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and McRobinson. Let's ask for God's hand. This is the last week of the season. Let's pray that the house churches would finish strong before the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the word, God. Thank you for the just a gentle reminder, God, that we should be bold in our prayers, Lord. God, you're our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. You desire to give good gifts to your children. And so help us to be bold in our asking, God, because we're not just asking for ourselves, Lord. We're asking especially on behalf of others. And so would you come, God, and would you grant the desires of your heart in us, Lord? We thank you, God. We love you. We ask you to watch over us today. It's a little cold. Lord, help us to be warm and safe. And we do pray, God, for the needy, God, in Hong Kong, that they would also be kept warm supernaturally, God, or through charity as well. And so we bless them, Father. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and see you guys tomorrow.